possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
So, you don't believe 8 to 10 inches?
No, not going to
Why?
Happen. That's not going to happen.
Well, John, you said this before in the past.
Yeah.
Shall we wager?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in.
Well, what's your wager?
I got $2.
Okay.
Yeah?
$2 says we get more than 7 inches of snow.
No, we're going to get less than 4.
Between now and when?
Thursday.
The end of Thursday night.
Yes.
All right. I'll bet you the $2.
All right.
I mean, I think you're completely wrong, man.
Well,
I listened to Dave Murray today on Glover's show.
Yeah.
And he has said essentially we've got two different storms happening here.
Uh-huh.
What's going to happen is tomorrow sometime. Is it tomorrow?
Well, you got the low pressure front moving in.
Yeah, here we go.
And then you got the high pressure front coming in from the northeast.
Yeah.
And you know when they meet.
Yeah,
there's an event.
So tomorrow's going to be in the 50s, is what they're saying. And there's going to be periods of rain.
But
it's later tomorrow night that the temperatures will it'll start to change tomorrow night.
From rain to snow, which creates ice.
Then the wintry mix will go from snow Wednesday and continue into Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be in the 20s.
Yeah.
At this point, at the end of the storm, AccuWeather expects 6 to 12 inches of snow.
Yeah, not going to happen.
No. I mean, because, you know, when people think of science, they think, how about that John Hancock?
Well, I'm just going off of, you know, history. So, you know, they say you're going to get snow, and it's going to be like 2 to 4 inches, and then you get a dust. And then they say you're going to get snow, it's going to be 3 to 6 inches, you get an inch.
Yeah.
So now they're saying, what?
8 to 12.
It's going to be 2 inches.
It's going to be 2 inches.
Yeah, but there's going to be a layer of ice under there, and that does concern me because that's no good. You got the ice, and then you got the snow, and you know you go to shovel that stuff, and
I hope you get a foot of snow at your house, and I hope Georgianne says to you, John, my back can't handle it. This is on you today, big boy. Get on out there since you said it wasn't going to happen.
Incredible. Shoveler, my wife.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe, you know, you think about your Tom Brady out there, you know, throwing the touchdown passes. You think about Jim Thorpe, you know, in the Olympics doing. None of them can hold a candle to Georgianne with a snow shovel. I mean,
with a snow shovel.
Unbelievable,
huh?
This woman. She is unbelievable. And she will be out there shoveling that snow.
I'm going to plead with her to say that because John says there's going to be no snow, Georgianne, I think you should take off, and any snow that comes should be shoveled by you.
You know, every great athlete, they respond to the crowd. You know, the crowd inspires the athlete to surge on to greater heights, higher heights, better goals. And she will have no bigger fan on Thursday afternoon than me, out there applauding, screaming, chanting, cheering. As she is shoveling that snow off the driveway, it will be an amazing feat, the likes of which we may not see again in our lifetime.
Did you ever used to run around the neighborhood and shovel snow for money?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Something kids don't really get to do much anymore.
I know.
We don't get snow anymore.
I would love to have the kids swing by and offer to, because it does pain me some for my poor wife out there. you know, shoveling the snow, and I'd like to be able to have an alternative.
You can remember the big snow in 1982, the crippling 18 inches that came to St. Louis?
Blocked the door. Couldn't open the front door of the house.
Where were you living?
We were in Creve Coeur at that time.
Yeah. Did you, and then after that, you know, we've never really had a snowstorm like that since.
Right.
We've had a couple of big ones. Do you, as a kid, as you started to hear that the snow may come, would you be up in the morning listening to KMOX to see if they would say your school?
Yes, they used to do that. Yeah, Bob Hardy, and they'd have all the school closings.
Johnsonville School District, R9. So it's all M17,
Pattonville R3, and that was, gold.
And were you like me, when the snow was coming, did you make the independent decision that I'm not doing homework because I'm convinced we're going to get enough snow that we don't have class tomorrow. Why do the homework?
Well, I always did the homework.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, you know.
Who you are.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you're a good student, you do the work.
Yeah, you know? I guess I wasn't a great student. I hated school. I loved snowstorms. And there was nothing better than snowstorms. And I just feel sorry for these kids now because they don't get any snowstorms. And now, but since the pandemic, they surely don't get a snow day because everybody go home and turn on your computer and listen to your teacher talk to you that way.
You know, I think that one of the things that has come out of the COVID era here is that the online learning that everybody had to do last year in 2020.
Right.
I think for some students, that's a better
way to
learn.
Well, for some students, being homeschooled is a better situation.
Yeah.
For some students, going to a religious school is the most appropriate.
Right.
You know, for some school kids, being a part of that larger major environment is important. I like the idea that some kids may need to be able to do stuff online in today's society. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm supportive of that concept.
Yeah,
now, I don't think where you and I differ is this idea that, you know, well, I ought to be able to take my money if I live in the Hazelwood School District and go to the Ladue School District if I want. That's where you and I differ. I think you live in a school district, you know, it's important that we have quality schools in neighborhoods that have to be well-funded and taken care of.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
So you've got a Deerberg's down the street from you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2 miles away is a Schnucks.
Right.
All right. Should you have to shop at the Deerberg's that's closest to you?
It's not a like-same comparison.
Why?
You're talking about public education.
Yeah.
You're talking about a mandate that we as a society and a country decided from almost the very beginning that we were going to provide schooling.
Right.
And it's one of the things that made America great. I know you like that phrase, make America great, is our public education. And the idea now that we will allow certain parts of our public education to rot and not really address the needs. And then this idea that the way that we're going to fix this is we'll let every kid have their money and they can go to a Catholic school or they can go to Ladue.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
You know what rots in the free market is businesses that don't cut it. They don't attract customers. John, they don't provide value.
First of all, we don't have a real free market in this country. I love that you're all about the free market.
I do. I am.
Then none of these companies should ever get any type of government help or incentives.
It's not what we're talking about.
No, but that's what you're talking about when you're starting to say that the free market would be allow people to go from here to there. Guess what? The kid grows up in a certain school district in North County. It's not as easy for them to be mobile and to go to some school 10 miles away or 2 miles away.
I get to choose my grocery store. I get to choose what I eat. I get to choose
You get to choose where you're going to live.
I get to choose where I'm going to live. If I've got the right resources. The only thing I don't get to choose
In this country is, think about that young kid.
Yeah.
Think about that young kid who's sitting in a school district that's rotting.
Yeah.
Whose parents may not care. Whose grandma may be the one that's raising them.
Yes.
And you're saying, oh, well, that kid ought to understand that he has the social mobility to be able to take his money and go to another school. No, let's make his school work for him.
Well,
let's make neighborhood schools.
We've tried that.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
We are spending $15,000 a year per student in this state and in public schools on average. And, you know, I didn't spend that much for private schools for my kids, right? I mean, so we're spending a private school education for every student in the state. And if the school they're attending isn't getting the job done, they ought to be allowed to go someplace else and take the money with them. That's what I think.
We'll keep it going. This all started out of snow days.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com. Working
on a night moon. Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
So, in front of me on the computer I'm looking at is a picture of St. Louis from Illinois.
There it is.
And there's a bunch of riverboats lined up in front of it. Yeah. It made me remember memories I had when I was a kid of going to the McDonald's. That was on the riverboat growing up. Did you ever go to that?
Well, I don't like to talk, but I was in charge of the PR for that boat.
Really?
Yes.
So when I was a little snarfer, going down there and getting my Big Mac, you may have had a hand in that.
So you were born in what, 75?
No, 93. I was in high school. So, I was beyond that stuff.
But no, I was Ronald McDonald's boss back in the day.
Felt like we went to the riverfront a lot when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we would go down for the VP fair at that time, they called it. Yeah, and they had the...
I was there for the Bicentennial, 1976, which was really the forerunner of the VP fair. They had this huge fireworks and amazing riverfront thing for the Bicentennial.
Uh-huh.
And then it took a few years, and then they started the VP fair after that. But I was at the Bicentennial.
Yeah, and you did you ever go and work on any of the play music on any of the boats down on town?
Yeah. So
you were on the Admiral and all that?
Never on the Admiral. I was on the Goldenrod a bunch, and I was on the Robert E. Lee. I played on the Belle Angeline, which was down there at the time.
And did those boats go for cruises? Like,
The Lee did. Robert E. Lee did. The Goldenrod didn't move. The Belle Angeline didn't move. The Admiral did back in the day. And I played a 50th college reunion for Wash U.
Really?
On the Robert E. Lee in 1970. I mean, so these are people that would have been graduated from high school in 1925.
Wow.
Or from college.
So they were in ragtime.
Well, yeah, they were, yeah, exactly. And but it was cool. And I did a lot of that kind of stuff. And the riverfront, it was very vibrant then. Lots of music, lots of stuff. You'd park on the old cobblestones.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, Street. It was hard to walk on, especially as a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your little feet would get caught in those little ruts and stuff.
And the Goldenrod, which was on the riverfront, that boat was built in 1909.
Uh-huh.
And it was a working showboat back in the day. And then they had the Ragtime Festival every year for a week on the Goldenrod, usually in June. But they would have live music on the riverfront stage, on the front of the boat there. They'd have a show. They'd have a wharf stage on the riverside of the boat. They'd have something going on in the bar inside.
Right.
In the theater, they'd have another live act going on. And then upstairs in the dining room, they'd have another act. So there was six live music acts going on all night from 6 o'clock until 1 in the
morning.
And
did it cost you to get onto the boat?
You had to pay to get on. But people would come and just sit on the waterfront for free and listen to it. I mean,
I feel like there's nothing going down on
nothing
the riverfront
like
anymore.
Nothing like that.
I mean, I don't. Later in life, they had the casino, right? That was on the old Admiral. Well, the Admiral's gone.
Gone.
I don't know that. Of course, I'm not sure that they even have the stuff that the city Bi-State used to operate, the Becky Thatcher and the Tommy. I think they're all gone.
Yeah, I think they are.
It's really sad because, but in fairness, I haven't been down there. I haven't had a desire to go down there, but maybe that's because there's nothing there.
Yeah, and you know, you go to Chicago.
Oh.
And you know, you hop on a boat, and you take the Chicago River, and you do the little.
You go to Louisville.
There.
You go to almost
anywhere.
Any city.
San
Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, let's stay in our same geography. Like, you go to Memphis. You go to, you know, that's right there. People are utilizing it. You know, we really separated ourselves from the river. I love what we've done to the Arch. The Arch grounds and the new development that's taken place there. But I think we really need to focus on trying to find some way to revitalize that landing area all the way to underneath the Arch.
The landing used to be such a great night spot.
It was a great music venue.
Yeah, you had Mississippi Nights down there.
Yeah, so many places.
The restaurants.
Lucius Boomers.
Yeah, you know, there used to be one of the great pianists in St. Louis history is a guy named Petal Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he played at Hannigan's and great jazz player. Tremendous. I hope he's still around. And you know, you had all that going on down there, and live music and good food, lots of action, people on the street, you know, lots of pedestrian traffic, and that's all seemingly gone now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But anyway, that came to my memory as I was looking at these pictures of the boats. Did you remember when the river used to freeze over when we were younger? Parents ever to take you look at the river when it was frozen over?
We never did that, no.
Yeah,
no.
We did.
If I were going to get on skates...
I'm not suggesting that, no. But we would drive to the river to be able to see, because that was cool, that all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's frozen over. We wouldn't walk out there. What, do you think we're crazy?
Well,
Well, you are, but just to see all the ice in the water, you don't see it completely froze over that much anymore.
Yeah. You ever go ice skating outside, down to... Forest Park?
Steinberg. I've ice skated there quite a bit. I've been to the place in Clayton. Is that? Shaw Park?
Yeah.
And I like ice skating. It's fun. Ice skate?
I got the skating merit badge in the Boy Scouts. Yeah.
You also got the navigation merit badge, and you've already discredited yourself with that. You got the wilderness survival merit badge. Now, let me just tell you what this guy's wilderness expertise are. Oh. He's able to look up and say, yep, it's raining. Outside of that, he can't build fire.
A buddy.
He can't yell, I can cook a hamburger and a pepper.
I did. So here's what I did. I mean, I'm humble. I don't like to talk. But out there by myself in the middle of the woods, the deadly, deadly animals prowling about, bears, tigers, there at the SBARF Scout Ranch. And
that sounds like pain to me, to be at a scout ranch.
And they send me out by myself with nothing but the tools I can carry with me in my backpack. And there I am. And it's getting dark. And
ooh, ooh.
The owls are hooting.
Ooh, ooh.
The tigers roaring out there. The lions. You got bears, and here I am with my hammer building a lean-to, Michael.
What is a lean-to?
A tent.
How do you make a lean-to?
It leans to the...
Well, explain how you made it there for your survival.
So you got to get the wood frame.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, and you got to get the other crossbar there, and then you got to lay the limbs through it, and then all the leaves in there to block you from... nature's elements, which are very, very damaging.
You
very
did dangerous. This.
I did.
And did you spend the night out there?
Yes.
Were you by yourself?
Yes.
Was there a scoutmaster close?
No. No cell phones.
What was the closest human being to you?
Miles from where I was.
This is a completely made up and fabricated story
right now. And I've got the lean-to there, and I've got a rock for a pillow. Yes.
A rock.
Yes.
Did you have your flint? To be able to start your own little fire.
My flint, my steel, and my steel wool, which came in very handy.
What do you do with steel wool?
Well, you got to get the fire.
How? So, what does steel wool have to do with...
The friction and then the spark and then the fire. So,
but the wool doesn't catch on fire.
It all catches on fire. It's unbelievable. And so I had the...
catches on fire?
Of course it does. And then you get the fire, and then you blow...
You mean to tell me that a Brillo pad will catch on fire?
You're blowing on the fire, yes. And and then you add little sticks and little twigs, and then larger sticks and larger twigs, and then the fire grows, and then even bigger sticks, and the fire is getting bigger, and it's getting bigger, and then you whip out the pepper. There it is.
Uh-huh.
The pepper you were given when you left to be all by yourselves, and you stuff that sucker with ground beef.
Oh, well, that's definitely survival. You showed up with ground beef from Schnucks and a hollowed-out green pepper.
All by yourself, Michael.
With your steel wool stick and flint.
All by yourself, and you put that pepper on that fire, and it cooks, and you smell it, and the bears smell it, and the tigers smell it. It's not good. Very unsafe. Huh. And you cook that thing, and you eat it. You eat it. It's so good. And then you climb into your lean-to there that you've made. You put your head down on the rock. You cover up with the leaves that you've found in the field. They give a little warmth, and you spend the night. And then you earn the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge, which I did in 1977.
What a great story. We'll have to... take a moment to process that and wonder exactly how the insurance companies ever validated this troop to allow John Hancock to do anything with fire or navigation.
It may or may not be true.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, that was rather something. If you were with us in the last segment when my integrity was being questioned by Michael Kelly.
Yeah.
Over the concept of flammable steel wool, which he didn't believe was actually a thing that I engaged when I was getting the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge in the Boy Scouts in 1977. Well, let's go to the Google, shall we? But why does steel wool burn, it says here on Google. Iron is actually a flammable substance. Steel wool, which is primarily iron, has a very high surface area that exposes it to oxygen. Combine that with the thin fibers that quickly transmit heat, and you can maintain combustion. Steel wool. Combustible.
So
fire.
What happens to the wool after it catches fire? It just goes away.
But that's when you add the little sticks and the little
I just didn't stuff realize steel wool could catch fire. When I think of steel wool, I think of steel.
When I'm explaining
I don't think
to
steel
you,
catches fire.
But when I'm explaining to you
I heard it.
That I am a man, I'm like Grizzly Adams without the beard. I am a man of the outdoors. And I was out there with my steel wool and my flint and my sticks and my lean-to and my
manure,
pepper and my hamburger
manure.
There I was.
Yeah.
But you know who else is with us?
Who's this?
Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Doug, you're on KMOX. Welcome aboard.
Well, how you doing, guys?
Have
great,
never
brother,
been better, yep. Doug. Feeling very, very proud of myself right now.
I can tell.
Yeah.
That's hey, good for you. You should. I never got the Wilderness Badge in Boy Scouts. So I barely got through the camping trip.
No, anyway, you had a line, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, regarding the Robert E. Lee.
Yes.
I actually worked on the Robert E. Lee. My band played for the company that owned the Robert E. Lee, which is a company based out of California.
Yeah. Oh. Zip.
Coco's restaurants around the area.
Yeah, Coco's.
And they used
okay.
to,
yeah.
No, I was playing music.
Yeah.
We were like the house band at a place they owned on Clayton and Kerr's Mill called the Moorings Restaurant.
Ooh, okay.
Which was like across the street from the barn at Lucerne, okay?
Nice.
And every once in a while they'd move us from one place to another for a month, you know, just to kind of spice things up a little bit. And they had us on the Robert E. Lee. And one of the times on the Robert E. Lee, it was winter. And I believe it was winter of 77. And we
what
were down there.
What a coincidence. There. That's when I was getting the yeah. Wilderness yeah. Survival Merit Badge.
Yeah, that's right.
Go right
yeah,
ahead.
I took your steel wool yeah. Yeah, on the riverfront. I thought I saw you. Anyway, no, we were playing one night. And, of course, you mentioned parking on the cobblestones. Well, this one particular night, it was icy and everything. But we're playing and we're noticing cars parked on the cobblestones as we're playing through yeah. the windows and stuff. Yeah. And this one car starts sliding.
Ooh. Ooh.
And it slid.
Ooh.
And it slid. It slid very slowly.
Yeah.
And it slid right into the river.
Ooh. Not a good day.
Not a good day. We were watching that thinking, well, I wonder who the poor slob is that owns that car because.
Well, I'll tell you what likely happened is that he jumped out of the car. And he grabbed his steel wool, and
that's
he
probably it.
Made a fire and cooked a hamburger right there.
he was probably trying to stay warm. It was so cold.
Yeah,
Doug,
yeah.
What you smoking tonight?
Actually, I finished a Rocky Patel Habano Edge.
Ooh,
Habano.
Very nice.
Those are very good. And last night I was thinking about you, John, because I smoked a wonderful La Florida Americana.
Oh.
And, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are all good.
And
you know.
tonight is the perfect night for a cigar outside.
Yeah, he was totally thinking about you when he extinguishes his cigar,
yeah.
when he, like, puts it into
yeah,
his
no,
tray
no.
and
Doug
he grinds
and
it down.
Doug and I are going to hang, buddy.
That's when he thinks about handcuffed.
No. We're going to hang. Thanks. Doug, have yourself a magnificent evening.
Well, you too. And I'll tell you what, if push comes to shove and I'm outside having a cigar and I need to get warm, I'll just come in here and grab a Brillo pad and fire
it. Well, not the Brillo pad, because it's got soap in it. Now, you got to have
that's true. That won't work.
Just the steel wool.
Yeah. Plain old steel wool.
Take it from.
You're right about that, because I'll tell you what, my dad used to say the same thing. My dad knew all about that kind of stuff. And he said, oh, yeah, steel wool burn, no problem. Yeah. You know.
Take it from the Eagle Scout, Doug.
Oh, yeah. This guy's a regular old MacGyver here.
Let me salute you. See you, Doug. And let's go now. Let's turn our attention to Jim. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Very well, Jim. I've been debunking a lot of misinformation coming out from my co-host here.
I can confirm. I used to do Civil War reenacting, and we do night fires.
Yeah.
And we would take double app steel wool, put a little bit of WD-40 on it.
Yes.
You get a fireball coming out of that barrel wouldn't believe.
It's like an explosion, that stuff.
Bill, you were doing Civil War reenactments?
Jim.
Yeah.
It's Jim.
Jim?
Yes.
Yeah. And wait a minute. You would take the steel wool and put WD-40 on it?
Yeah, a little WD-40.
Now, how is that related to a Civil War reenactment?
In the Civil War, it was WD-2. an early version. Go ahead, Jim.
We were putting on a dog and pony show for the spectators. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the crowd. The fans are out there.
What's your uniform look like?
Well, I'm either the 3rd Missouri Confederate or 24th Missouri Infantry.
Oh,
wow. And does your wife do this with you? Or?
My ex-wife used to.
Yeah? Does she just have enough of it?
Well, I seceded from her.
So while we got you here, Jim, and burning the steel wool and proving my point, which I appreciate. In fact, give that man a cigar. And then let me ask you this, Jim. In the entirety of the Civil War, what do you think is the pinnacle moment of that war?
It would have to be the Emancipation Proclamation.
In 1863.
Yep.
And so go ahead and elaborate on that.
Well, because at that particular point in time, the Union never looked back. I mean, you know, as Shelby Foote used to say, before the Civil War, it used to be the United States are, and after the Civil War, it was the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
It was essentially taking what was embodied in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and making it the law of the land for everybody.
Yep. Wow. That's pretty deep. And that's really good. On the battlefield, was the pivotal point Gettysburg?
I would think it would be Vicksburg.
Okay. The siege.
Yeah. The war was essentially won in the West.
Uh-huh.
And if you think about it, you know, after Ulysses Grant had so much success in the West, Lincoln brought him East, and again, he never looked back.
Well, that's a really good point. In post-Gettysburg, it was sheer numbers, right? The war of attrition at that point. You got the Wilderness and the wars that were the battles that were fought after Gettysburg. It was the North superior numbers and equipment.
Robert E. Lee told his staff at one point, you know, they said, well, you know, if you they've got this and they've got that, and Lee finally said, stop. If we go to ciphering, we're going to lose.
Hmm.
He said, because we don't have the numbers.
Yeah. So while I have you now, because I love this stuff. This fascinates me. So let's go to Pickett's charge at Gettysburg. All right.
Okay.
Was it a miscalculation by Lee, or was that the only option he had at that point, do you think?
At that point, it was probably the only option he had because Jeb Stuart had finally shown up.
Right, yeah.
And if Pickett's men had broken through there at the wall, Jeb Stuart's men were supposed to come from the other direction and split the Union Army in two.
Yep.
But had he listened to Longstreet a couple of days before that, they probably could have won there. If they'd have gotten in the rear early on, they'd have won.
And I think if the South wins Gettysburg, given Lincoln's lack of popularity at that point in time, you know, he would have lost the election if it were held then, I think. That might have been the ball game, right?
Well, even as late as 1864, you know, when they had no idea.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, that was rather something. If you were with us in the last segment when my integrity was being questioned by Michael Kelly.
Yeah.
Over the concept of flammable steel wool, which he didn't believe was actually a thing that I engaged when I was getting the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge in the Boy Scouts in 1977. Well, let's go to the Google, shall we? But why does steel wool burn, it says here on Google. Iron is actually a flammable substance. Steel wool, which is primarily iron, has a very high surface area that exposes it to oxygen. Combine that with the thin fibers that quickly transmit heat, and you can maintain combustion. Steel wool. Combustible.
So
fire.
What happens to the wool after it catches fire? It just goes away.
But that's when you add the little sticks and the little
I just didn't realize steel wool could catch fire. When I think of steel wool, I think of steel.
When I'm explaining
I don't think
to
steel
you,
catches fire.
But when I'm explaining to you
I heard it.
That I am a man, I'm like Grizzly Adams without the beard. I am a man of the outdoors. And I was out there with my steel wool and my flint and my sticks and my lean-to and my
manure,
pepper and my hamburger
manure.
There I was.
Yeah.
But you know who else is with us?
Who's this?
Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Doug, you're on KMOX. Welcome aboard.
Well, how you doing, guys?
Have great, never brother, been better, you? Doug. Feeling very, very proud of myself right now.
I can tell.
Yeah.
That's hey, good for you. You should. I never got the Wilderness Badge in Boy Scouts. So I barely got through the camping trip.
No, anyway, you had a life, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, regarding the Robert E. Lee.
Yes.
I actually worked on the Robert E. Lee. My band played for the company that owned the Robert E. Lee, which is a company based out of California.
Yeah. Zip.
Coco's restaurants around the area.
Yeah, Coco's. And they used to,
No, no, I was playing music.
Yeah.
And I played the, we were like the house band at a place they owned on Clayton and Kerr's Mill called the Moorings Restaurant.
Ooh, okay.
Which was like across the street from the barn at Lucerne. Okay.
Nice.
And every once in a while they'd move us from one place to another for a month, you know, just kind of spice things up a little bit. And they had us under Robert E. Lee. And one of the times when Robert E. Lee, it was winter. And I believe it was winter of 77. And
we were down there. What a coincidence. There. That's when I was getting the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge.
That's right.
Go right ahead.
I took your steel wool on the riverfront. I thought I saw you. Anyway, no, we were playing one night. And, of course, you mentioned parking on the cobblestones. Well, this one particular night, it was icy and everything. Well, we're playing, and we're noticing cars parked on the cobblestones as we're playing through the windows and stuff. Yeah. And this one car starts sliding.
Ooh. Ooh.
And it slid.
Ooh.
And it slid. It slid very slowly.
Yeah.
And it slid right into the river.
Ooh. Not a good day.
We were watching that thinking, boy, I wonder who the poor slob is that owns that car, because...
Well, I'll tell you what likely happened is that he jumped out of the car and he grabbed his steel wool and made a fire and cooked a hamburger right there.
he was probably trying to stay warm. It was so cold.
Yeah.
Doug,
yeah.
What you smoking tonight?
I finished a Rocky Patel Habano Edge.
Ooh,
Habano.
Very nice.
Those are very good. And, last night I was thinking about you, John, because I smoked a wonderful La Florida Minicana.
Oh.
And, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Those are all good.
And tonight is the perfect night for a cigar outside.
He was totally thinking about you when he extinguishes his cigar, when he, like, puts it into his tray.
No. Doug and I are going to hang, buddy.
That's when he thinks about...
No, we're going to hang.
Thanks.
Doug, have yourself a magnificent evening.
Well, you too, and I'll tell you what, if push comes to shove and I'm outside having a cigar and I need to get warm, I'll just come in here and grab a Brillo pad and fire
it. Well, not the Brillo pad, because it's got soap in it. Now, you got to have
That will work.
Just the steel wool.
Yeah, plain old steel wool.
You're
right about that, because I'll tell you what, my dad used to say the same thing. My dad knew all about that kind of stuff, and he said, oh, yeah, steel wool burn, no problem. Yeah. You know,
take it from the Eagle Scout, Doug.
Oh yeah, this guy's a regular old MacGyver here.
Let me salute you. See you, Doug, and let's go now. Let's turn our attention to Jim. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Very well, Jim. I've been debunking a lot of misinformation coming out from my co-host here.
I can confirm. I used to do Civil War reenacting, and we do night fires.
Yeah.
And we would take double lap steel wool, put a little bit of WD-40 on it.
Yes.
You get a fireball coming out of that barrel wouldn't believe.
It's like an explosion, that stuff.
Bill, you were doing Civil War reenactments?
Jim.
Yeah.
It's Jim.
Jim?
Yes.
Yeah. And wait a minute. You would take the steel wool and put WD-40 on it?
Yeah, a little WD-40.
Now, how is that related to a Civil War reenactment?
In the Civil
they didn't
War,
have WD-40.
No, in the Civil War, it was WD-2. an early version. Go ahead, Jim.
We were putting on a dog and pony show for the spectators. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the crowd. The fans are out there.
What's your uniform look like?
Well, I'm either the 3rd Missouri Confederate or 24th Missouri Infantry.
Oh,
wow. And does your wife do this with you? Or
My ex-wife used to.
Yeah? Does she just have enough of it?
Well, I seceded from her.
So while we got you here, Jim, and burning the steel wool and proving my point, which I appreciate. In fact, give that man a cigar. And then let me ask you this, Jim. In the entirety of the Civil War, what do you think is the pinnacle moment of that war?
It would have to be the Emancipation Proclamation.
In 1863.
Yep.
And so go ahead and elaborate on that.
Well, because at that particular point in time, the Union never looked back. I mean, you know, as Shelby Foote used to say, before the Civil War, it used to be the United States are, and after the Civil War, it was the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
It was essentially taking what was
embodied in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and making it the law of the land for everybody.
Yep. Wow. That's pretty deep. And that's really good. On the battlefield, was the pivotal point Gettysburg?
I would think it would be Vicksburg.
Okay. The siege.
Yeah. The war was essentially won in the West.
Uh-huh.
And if you think about it, you know, after Ulysses Grant had so much success in the West, Lincoln brought him east, and right. Again, he never looked back.
Well, that's a really good point. In the you know, in post Gettysburg, it was sheer numbers, right? The war of attrition at that point. You got the Wilderness and the wars that were the battles that were fought after Gettysburg. It was the North's superior numbers and equipment.
Robert E. Lee told his staff at one point, you know, they said, well, you know, if you, they've got this and they've got that. And Lee finally said, stop. If we go to ciphering, we're going to lose.
Hmm.
He said, because we don't have the numbers.
Yeah. So while I have you now, because I love this stuff. This fascinates me. So let's go to Pickett's charge at Gettysburg. All right.
Okay.
Was it a miscalculation by Lee, or was that the only option he had at that point, do you think?
At that point, it was probably the only option he had because Jeb Stuart had finally shown up.
Right, yeah.
And if Pickett's men had broken through there at the wall, Jeb Stuart's men were supposed to come from the other direction, split the Union Army in two.
Yep.
But had he listened to Longstreet a couple of days before that, they probably could have won there. If they'd have gotten in the rear early on, they'd have won.
And I think if the South wins Gettysburg, given Lincoln's lack of popularity at that point in time, you know, he would have lost the election if it were held then, I think. That might have been the ball game, right?
Well, even as late as 1864, you know, when they had no idea where Sherman was in Georgia.
Right.
And Lincoln was terrified that he was going to lose that election until all of a sudden, you know, Sherman shows up in Savannah.
Right.
And says, hey, you know, I've got a gift for you.
Yeah. Remarkable. I love history. Jim, you have been a delightful caller. I'm so glad you joined the show tonight, and wish you well.
When's the next reenactment?
You know, I don't do it too much anymore. They're doing one in Pittsfield, Illinois in June.
Where's that?
Well, the Battle of Pittsfield, you know, big battle.
Well, Lincoln and Lee will be there. A friend of mine portrays Lee.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. And so you're a Confederate when you reenact?
Unless we have to galvanize, then we become the 24th Missouri Infantry, which was a Union unit.
All right. You ever hang out with the 20th Maine?
No.
Oh, all right.
No, they're too far east for us.
Yeah, love that. All right, Jim, thanks so much.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right, when we come back, Michael.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about
Stan Kroenke and karma.
Well, sure.
What else did you want to talk
all
about?
All kinds of stuff.
I got to talk to you about Stan Kroenke because I'm not happy.
Not happy.
No.
Is Michael Kelly. That's next on KMOX. Oh, Pink Floyd. Money. 7-4 time. 7-4 time, PJ.
What's that mean to regular
six,
people?
7-1. One, two, three, never mind.
What does 7-4 time mean?
Well, you got seven beats per measure. 6-7-1.
What's the four?
3-4-5-6-7. Quarter note is one beat. 5-6-7-1-2-3-4-5-6-7-1.
What is a quarter?
Doug would know. Doug was a drummer.
What's the difference between quarter note and a regular note?
Well, it's a quarter note. It's a one, you know, it's a quarter note.
All right, I don't know what we're talking about. I didn't pay attention to music class.
Apparently.
You know what I did pay Great attention too. To?
What's that?
What a dirtball Stan Kroenke is. I mean, is there a bigger dirtball? Did you see him when they showed his face the other day?
I did.
He's walking around with sunglasses on like he's some Hollywood. He's a Missouri Hoosier.
He was.
You know, and he's acting like he's some big Hollywood dude. Inherited most of that money.
Well, he was the victim of bullying.
Yeah.
He was bullied in school.
Yeah.
And in fact, his school district went
well, if you looked like that, you deserved to get bullied.
Well, he was very poor.
Yeah.
And he had old raggedy shoes. And you know, right. If you want to understand Stan Kroenke's passion for money, you've got to understand where he came from. And he was extremely poor. He was made fun of in school. He was bullied so badly that when the school had a natural, I can't remember if it was a tornado or whatever, destroyed the school where he went, they asked him, and at this point he's a billionaire.
Uh-huh.
They asked him for $60,000
uh-huh.
to renovate the school, and he said no.
Why?
He doesn't give money away. I mean, the guy, if you look at the Forbes 400 list,
yeah.
they also do a philanthropy, you know, section.
Uh-huh.
Stan Kroenke's philanthropy is zero. He gives no money away.
What a dirtbag.
And well, but it goes back to his childhood, and he was bullied, and you know, I mean, the guy's got a
multiple. Well, he needs a therapist.
Yes, he's got multiple emotional, psychological issues, all of which have manifested themselves to what we see today.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And yeah. I'm now interested because I just think the guy's a dirtball. I'd like to stuff him in a trash can. And I think that that's about all I want to say about that, other than the law of karma should make it so that he does not win the Super Bowl.
Go Bengals.
In his own stadium.
Well, we had
Joe Burrow.
We had our NFL expert on last hour.
Is he a beauty or what? Speaking of beauties,
yeah.
we got this young man with us. And
there look, he is.
You remember your first big job?
Yes.
What were you do? What'd you do?
Playing the piano.
Yeah.
Six Flags. There I was. Had my little hat on.
Yeah.
Little vest. Stomping my foot on the wooden stage there, playing, banging out the Maple Leaf rag. Yeah.
That was one of my first responsibilities was kind of managing that little bag rat shack and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But this is a big job this guy's got.
Yeah, producer.
So let's introduce Matthew.
Well, so, you know, I don't know, a couple of months ago, you know, we've had a little bit of a carousel of producers around here at KMOX. People have been moving along. And we've had a number of folks that have sat here, and because you and I, they don't want us to touch any buttons because Lord knows what would happen. It would be bad.
No, they need a robot to do that for
Well,
us.
Or somebody that knows what they're doing. And so here's this guy, Matt Pajeski. Shows up, I don't know, a month or two ago, and we're in here on a Monday night, and there he was. And he's good. He's good. He gets it. He adds to the quality of the show.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal. And it kind of reminded me of our producer on Friday mornings.
Chris Myhill. Now, Chris has been with KMOX.
42 years.
Wow, think about that.
And Myhill has been producing, you know, back to the Jack Carney days.
Right.
And
just think someday.
Yeah.
If Matt Pajeski.
Yeah.
makes it for 42 years.
It'll be, let's do the math here. So it's 22.
62.
64
if he went for 42 years.
Now, think
about this.
I'll be 100 years old in 2064.
And he'll be sitting here with two dummies.
Well, I won't be here.
2 years from now. And I'm not suggesting we're the dummies. And he'll be saying, man, I go back all the way to the days of
Hancock and Kelly. Yeah.
Well, could you imagine? Won't that be something to revel in, huh?
You know, and you think about, though, the history of this station and what it has done. We had a woman on, you know, for the 50th anniversary of KMOX, which was back in 1975, 50 years. And they had the gal that played the piano on the air long before they were a talk station.
Right.
You know, and they, you know, music and general entertainment and variety and stuff. And going back to her, who lived in Washington, Missouri, and she played the piano here for years. And then you move into the 30s and 40s and the Cardinal games and the Browns games that were here, Dizzy Dean broadcasting, Franz Lox broadcasting, and then you move into the Harry Carey era with Joe Garagiola and Jack Buck doing the Cardinal games, and then Robert Hyland starting talk radio.
Right.
I mean, the history of this station is amazing.
It really is. And then you bring in young, talented folks like Matt, who grew up here in St. Louis and went to Webster, right, Matthew?
That's right.
And your degree is in?
Audio production.
And what does that mean for John and I?
Well, really, what I went to school for was mostly like recording of like music, actually. But then I joined the radio club there, and that's really kind of how it all started. Was the Galaxy Radio?
And did you grow up listening to KMOX?
Yeah. I did. Cardinal games on every summer. Yeah.
Yeah, and your parents were KMOX listeners,
yes,
I guess, and their parents were KMOX. Mm-hmm.
Do they listen to you now?
They do, yeah.
So do they know that you're producing this show and that you're we'll likely talk with you?
Yes, they do. I shoot them a quick text every now and then, like, hey, I'm coming up in the next segment, you might want to tune in.
Yeah, with Hancock and Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be listening to Hancock and Kelly regardless if I'm on it or not.
Hey, well, hello. I mean, who's not, Matt? Right. Yeah. Who's not? I ran into Kate Upton down in Florida.
Really?
He did?
She told me that she listens to us all the time,
not.
Too. I said, chill out.
Yeah.
Chill out. Leave me alone.
Get in line.
So, Kate Upton, what'd you?
We're talking about Pajeski.
Yeah,
I'd rather talk about Kate Upton.
I would
honest.
Too.
Yeah, I was just name dropping her because, you know, she's kind of a celebrity, you know. But no, they listen to KMOX down there in Florida.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially
late at night.
Right.
You know, this signal beams all over the country.
If the clouds are low.
Yeah, and good programming going out there. People want to listen and call in.
They do, like Doug and Jim.
And Jim.
Well, I just think, you know, for me, it's such an honor to be able to be on these airwaves.
Oh, it's a privilege.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. And it's so enjoyable. And to meet the talented people that work here. And Matt, you're one of them.
Well, thank you.
And to get to be with a guy on his first day of
today's
that
your
voyage.
First official day.
Official day.
Now, he had been doing some part-time work here at KMOX and hopping around, but he is now a part of the KMOX family, and congratulations.
Are you on salary now, for the love of
That's
Pete?
Right.
He is. He's on salary.
Congratulations, Matt.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
We've been here for 15 years, and we're still getting paid by the hour, and it ain't much.
Hey, that's my buddy John Hancock. You're going to want to tune in on Friday mornings from 8:30 to 11.
We get paid by the hour there, too.
We sit in for Charlie and Amy.
We do.
We cover a little bit more of the political topics than we do here on our late night show.
Yes.
You can catch us on Sunday mornings at 8:30
where
on
we also
Fox 2.
Get paid by the hour.
And we speak to all the politics. That's the television show. Dave Glover also has us on Fridays at 3. We're grateful to be with you, and I'm honored to be here on Matt Pajeski's first day. Cheers to you, Matt.
I'm honored to be working with you guys.
What's coming up after all of this fun and excitement?
10 o'clock is the best of the DGS.
The best of the DGS is coming up.
It has to be every segment we're on.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And, because you got the Glover over here. You got the
Trish here we go.
Gazelle over there.
Hey, John Madden, let's get out of here.
All right. See you guys. Have fun. Bye. Oh, Pink Floyd. Money. 7-4 time. 7-4 time, PJ.
What's that mean to regular people?
7-1. 1, 2, 3. Never mind.
What does 7-4 time mean?
Well, you got 7 beats per measure. 6-7-1.
What's the 4?
3-4-5-6-7. Quarter note is 1 beat. 5-6-7-1-2-3-4-5-6-7-1.
What is a quarter?
Doug would know. Doug was a drummer.
What's the difference between quarter note and a regular note?
Well, it's a quarter note. It's a one. You know, it's a quarter note.
All right, I don't know what we're talking about. I didn't pay attention to music class.
Apparently.
You know what I did pay Great attention too. To?
What's that?
What a dirtball Stan Kroenke is. I mean, is there a bigger dirtball? Did you see him when they showed his face the other day?
He's
walking around with sunglasses on like he's some Hollywood. He's a Missouri Hoosier.
He was,
you know, and he's acting like he's some big Hollywood dude. Inherited most of that money.
Well, he was the victim of bullying.
Yeah.
He was bullied in school.
Yeah.
And in fact, his school district went
Well, if you looked like that, you deserved to get bullied.
Well, he was very poor.
Yeah.
And he had old raggedy shoes. And, you know, if you want to understand Stan Kroenke's passion for money, you've got to understand where he came from. And he was extremely poor. He was made fun of in school. He was bullied so badly that when the school had a natural, I can't remember if it was a tornado or whatever, destroyed the school where he went, they asked him, and at this point he's a billionaire, they asked him for $60,000 to renovate the school, and he said no.
Why?
he doesn't give money away. I mean, the guy, if you look at the Forbes 400 list,
yeah.
They also do a philanthropy, you know, section.
Uh-huh.
Stan Kroenke's philanthropy is zero. He gives no money away.
What a third ball.
And, well, but it goes back to his childhood, and he was bullied, and, you know, I mean, the guy's got a
multiple... Well, he needs a therapist.
Yes. He's got multiple emotional, psychological issues, all of which have manifested themselves to what we see today.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And yeah. I'm now interested because I just think the guy's a dirtball. I'd like to stuff him in a trash can. And I think that that's about all I want to say about that, other than the law of karma should make it so that he does not win the Super Bowl.
Go Bengals.
In his own stadium.
Well, we had
Joe Burrow.
We had our NFL expert on last hour.
Is he a beauty or what? Speaking of beauties,
yeah.
We got this young man with us. And
there look, he is.
You remember your first big job?
Yes.
What were you do? What'd you do?
Playing the piano.
Yeah.
Six Flags. There I was. Had my little hat on.
Yeah.
Little vest. Stomping my foot on the wooden stage there, playing, banging out the Maple Leaf Rag. Yeah.
That was one of my first responsibilities was kind of managing that little bag rat shack and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But this is a big job this guy's got.
Yeah, producer.
So let's introduce Matthew.
Well, so, you know, I don't know, a couple of months ago, you know, we've had a little bit of a carousel of producers around here at KMOX. People have been moving along. And we've had a number of folks that have sat here, and because you and I, they don't want us to touch any buttons because Lord knows what would happen. It would be bad.
No, they need a robot to do that for
Well, or somebody that knows what they're doing. And so here's this guy, Matt Pajeski. Shows up, I don't know, a month or two ago, and we're in here on a Monday night, and there he was. And he's good. He's good. He gets it. He adds to the quality of the show.
Uh-huh.
Phenomenal. And it kind of reminded me of our producer on Friday mornings.
Chris Myhill. Now, Chris has been with KMOX.
42 years.
Wow, think about that.
And Myhill has been producing, you know, back to the Jack Carney days.
Right.
And
just think someday.
Yeah.
If Matt Pajeski.
Yeah.
Makes it for 42 years.
It'll be, let's do the math here. So it's 22. 22
32, 32, 32, 32, 32, 32, 32. 62.
64
if he went for 42 years.
2064.
Think about this.
I'll be 100 years old in 2064.
And he'll be sitting here with two dummies.
Well, I won't be here.
2 years from now. And I'm not suggesting we're the dummies. And he'll be saying, man, I go back all the way to the days of
Hancock and Kelly. Yeah.
Well, could you imagine? Won't that be something to revel in, huh?
You know, and you think about, though, the history of this station and what it has done. We had a woman on, you know, for the 50th anniversary of KMOX, which was back in 1975, 50 years. And they had the gal that played the piano on the air long before they were a talk station.
Right.
You know, and they, you know, music and general entertainment and variety and stuff. And going back to her, who lived in Washington, Missouri, and she played the piano here for years. And then you move into the 30s and 40s and the Cardinal games and the Browns games that were here, Dizzy Dean broadcasting, Franz Lox broadcasting, and then you move into the Harry Carey era with Joe Garagiola and Jack Buck doing the Cardinal games, and then Robert Hyland starting talk radio.
Right.
I mean, the history of this station is amazing.
It really is. And then you bring in young, talented folks like Matt, who grew up here in St. Louis and went to Webster, right, Matthew?
That's right.
And your degree is in?
Audio production.
And what does that mean for John and I?
Well, really, what I went to school for was mostly like recording of like music, actually.
No.
But then I joined the radio club there, and that's really kind of how it all started. Was the Galaxy Radio? There.
And did you grow up listening to KMOX?
Yeah. I did. Cardinal games on every summer. Yeah.
Yeah, and your parents were KMOX listeners,
yes,
I guess,
of course.
And their parents were KMOX. Mm-hmm.
Do they listen to you now?
They do. Yeah.
So that do they know that you're producing this show and that you're like we'll likely talk with you?
Yes, they do.
I love that.
I shoot them a quick text every now and then, like, hey. coming up in the next segment, you might want to tune in.
Yeah, with Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be listening to Hancock and Kelly regardless if I'm on it or not.
Hey, well, hello. I mean, who's not, Matt? Yeah. Who's not? Oh, I ran into Kate Upton down in Florida.
Really?
He did?
She told me that she listens to us all the time, too.
Not.
I said, chill out.
Yeah.
Chill out. Leave me alone.
Get in line.
So, Kate Upton, what'd you...
We're talking about Pajeski.
Yeah,
I'd rather talk about Kate Upton.
I would, too.
Yeah, I was just name-dropping her because, you know, she's kind of a celebrity, you know. But, no, they listened to KMOX down there in Florida.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Especially
late at night.
Right.
You know, this signal beams all over the country.
If the clouds are low.
Yeah, and we've got... When you've got... good programming going out there.
There.
People want to listen and call in.
They do, like Doug and Jim.
And Jim.
Well, I just think, you know, for me, it's such an honor to be able to be on these airwaves.
Oh, it's a privilege. Yeah, it really is.
It is. And it's so enjoyable. And to meet the talented people that work here. And Matt, you're one of them.
Well, thank you.
And to get to be with a guy on his first day of
today's
that
your
voyage.
First official day.
First official day.
Now he had been doing some part time work here at KMOX and hopping around, but he is now a part of the KMOX family.
So
and congratulations!
Are you on salary
brother.
Now for the love of
That's
Pete?
Right.
He is. He's on salary.
Congratulations, Matt.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah,
we've been here for 15 years and we're still getting paid by the hour, and it ain't much.
Hey, that's my buddy John Hancock. You're going to want to tune in on Friday mornings from 8:30 to 11.
We get paid by the hour there, too.
We sit in for Charlie and Amy.
We do.
We cover a little bit more of the political topics than we do here on our late night show.
Yes.
You can catch us on Sunday mornings at 8:30
where we also
Fox 2.
Get paid by the hour.
And we speak to all the politics. That's the television show. Dave Glover also has us on Fridays at 3. We're grateful to be with you, and I'm honored to be here on Matt Pajeski's first day. Cheers to you, Matt.
I'm honored to be working with you guys.
What's coming up after all of this fun and excitement?
10 o'clock is the best of the DGS.
The best of the DGS is coming up.
It has to be every segment we're on.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And, because you got the Glover over here. You got the
Trish here we go.
Gazelle over there.
Hey, John Madden, let's get out of here.
All right. See you guys. Have fun. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.